Chapter 58. Long Way Down. Moving too fast to stick, I draw a sharp breath and suck in, pulling the particles of my body closer together. I shrink, becoming tougher, harder, as I am battered and bashed. My spear snaps, and the bone tip shatters, tearing my robes, but unable to penetrate my toughened skin. The shoulder strap of my shield is designed for quick removal, and cannot withstand the rigors of the fall. It clatters away long before I hit bottom, slamming to a hard stop. My ears are ringing, and the ground seems to spin beneath me as I try to work the dirt from a mouth gone dry. I smell blood, but it isn't mine. I expect most folks would have broken a couple of bones in that fall, if not their necks. But I'm just dizzy and a little achy. Olive is tougher than most folks, but if she came down this same way, she might be hurt. When I am able, I put my hands under me and push up, seeing a bright glow of ambient magic flowing through the cavern. Wherever I am, it is close to the centre of the ward. Ahead, I hear a ruckus, but I'm still too disoriented to sift out the sounds. I throw on the hood of Mam's cloak, wrapping myself in its protective folds. Still, I keep to the shadow of the stalagmites as I get my feet under me and creep silently toward the noise. The space opens up around a bend, and I find the source of the blood smell. Prince Chardon lies in a pool of blood on the cold stone, aura snuffed. After the slaughter of the warded children and hollow soldiers, I should be able to look on a dead body without losing my lunch, but the prince's head is cracked open, his brains scooped out like a soft-boiled egg. Close to 100 Sharum are on their knees, with Prince Aravan standing at their head in full armour. None of them wear their helmets, just as Arik said, though many still carry them. A few feet away, Olive is in the grasp of the Mind Demon, a creature even more terrifying in reality than in paintings and Mam's ale stories. I can sense the demon's age, his overwhelming power, and I know in my heart this is the calling Mam and Da kept prisoner all those years ago. Alagai Ka, the father of demons, who tried to kill me while I was still in Mam's belly. The very sight of him makes me want to run far away. But the demon has Olive. Slowly, I draw Mam's knife beneath the folds of the cloak, inching my way across the floor. Prince Aravan laughs. I glance his way, seeing the prince looking right at me, even wrapped in my cloak.
"Do you think yourself invisible?"
Aravan asks incredulously.
"Even if I cannot see you, my slaves can."
"Ripping idiot,"
I curse as Aravan leaps for me, surprisingly quick in his scaled armour. Arik told the truth about the Sharum and their helmets, but lied about the protection of the cloak. I've walked right into the Demon King's waiting talons. The father waits below. I go slippery and slide past Aravan, bolting for Alagai Ka. If I cannot sneak, I will trust to blind speed and Mam's blade. Indeed, the hilt throbs in my hand as if hungry to avenge her. My hood falls back in the mad dash, along with its protective wards. Immediately, I feel the demon's will try to latch onto me, much like Mam does when she forces me to dissipate and drags me into a vent. I can see the power rippling from Alagai Ka's throbbing cranium wash over me. Warded children have a rule. No one with less than 16 summers can be inked. In part because young bodies can distort the tattoos as they grow, but mostly from the belief that folk should consent as adults before making a permanent choice. But Mam was never one to follow rules, especially where I was concerned. As soon as my skull bones fused, she used her special electrum ink to tattoo a mind ward atop my head and touch it up over the years as I grew. The silvery ink is nearly invisible and hidden beneath the thick curls of my hair. Most wards won't activate when hidden, but mine draws power from my own innate magic and is always charged. I feel the demon's will hammering against the forbidding around my mind. The ward grows warm, then so hot it burns. I fear my hair will smoulder, but the barrier holds. The mind demon can no more force his way into my mind than Ellicutta could punch her way out of the bunker. I pick up speed. The wards on Mam's knife glow fiercely as I lunge for Alagai Ka's bulbous head. Fast as I am fast enough. I nick the flesh of his forehead and feel the blade come to life in my hand. But before it can penetrate far, the demon tosses Olive at me. I've gone solid to attack, as she hits me hard. I fumble the knife, trying to keep from stabbing her. I remember cowering as Mam told stories about fighting Alagai Ka, how every moment they survived seemed a miracle. Underestimate a mind. It's the last thing you'll ever do, Mam said. Might look scrawny, but they've magic enough to be as strong or fast or tough as they want. Anything doesn't kill them, they can heal in a blink. Olive and I hit the ground in a tangle, but I can't waste time on her. The only hope we have is to kill Alagai Ka here and now. I roll away and spring back to my feet, ready to charge again. Olive grabs me from behind, putting me in a submission hold and twisting me back down. I go slippery and pop from her grasp like a leapfrog. I rush the demon before Olive can catch up. He seems more than willing to meet me head on, batting Mam's knife away with a slender wrist, then swiping with sharp claws. I twist away, but somehow the demon's talons find purchase, cutting deep into my flesh. I stumble back and cry out, as much in horror as pain. Nothing has ever caught me like that when I'm slippery. But this monster has been using magic for thousands of years. My tricks must seem like a hound rolling over and playing dead. Mam's knife is glowing fiercely. I draw an impact ward in the air with the point and watch the knife's wards dim as the power forms and streaks through the air toward the demon. Alagai Ka remains unimpressed. Holding up a clawed hand, he absorbs the magic without effect, advancing on me with malice in his black eyes. I fumble for my pipes, and the demon hisses as I put them to my lips. He ceases his approach, covering his ear holes and opening his maw to let out a piercing keen. His human slaves get to their feet at the sound, and I shiver in fear. They ain't as quick as Arik was. The mass of warriors shuffles slowly, like marionettes in a jongleur show. They're blunt instruments, but there's 100 of them, and they quickly form a circle, cutting off any chance of escape as Aravan and Olive advance on me with grace and speed the others lack. I'm forced to drop my pipes to hang from their strap as the Sharoom charge. I turn slippery, but they've stopped trying to grab me. Punches and kicks glance off me, but though I can lessen the impacts, I can't avoid them entirely. Not with a ring of spears and locked shields tightening all around me. I'm out of tricks as the noose closes. But then, a scream pierces the din. And again, Alagai Ka puts his clawed hands over his ear holes, shrieking. The Sharooms stop advancing and go limp, dropping bonelessly to the ground. Even Olive and Iravan slump to their knees and tip over. Darren! Selen appears, shield bashing her way through the collapsing ring that surrounds me. Warriors tumble like tenpins as she makes it to my side. You all right? Aye. I throw my cloak over the bloody slashes the demon left across half my chest. This ain't the time for distractions. But none of us are all right for long. Demon's already got Olive and the others. Arik stands before Mika and Rojva, a new helmet secured around his chin with turban silk. The women are singing with power and passion, the wards on their chokers glowing brightly in the darkness. Arik's spear and shield shine once again with the protection of heroes' bones, and the demon hisses at their advance. But Alagai Ka does not flee. Like I did a moment ago, he sketches impact wards in the air. I cover my ears as the ground explodes at Mika and Rojva's feet. They are knocked to the ground as their singing turns to shrieks and then silence. The impacts kick up a cloud of dust and the demon draws another ward, blowing it in their faces. As Mika and Rojva attempt to resume the song, both get a mouthful of dirt and choke on the words. Arik's veil is up as he charges through the cloud, but with the singers silenced, the mind demon slaves reanimate. Iravan leaps to his feet, and Selen pushes in front of me, spear and shield at the ready. Iravan ignores her, rushing to block the path to the father of demons. The other Sharum are a little slower getting to their feet, but they mass around the rest of us, closing in once more.
Show no mercy!
Mika's voice is hoarse as she hooks one of the shuffling warrior's legs and twists, sending him stumbling into a pair of his fellows. She kicks herself upright, bashing in another of the Sharum's knees and darting through the opening as he falls away. She slips a hand in her robes and pulls out a sickle of hero's bone. Her movements are precise as she locks the blade into fighting position with a flick of her wrist and uses it to open the throat of the next warrior to face her.
Whether they will it or not, these are servants of Ni. We must not let Alagai Kaa escape.